That's the kind of sass that we've been missing the last week.
Yeah. I just wrote my new best friend another message.
Michael Ian Black.
Uh-huh.
Is it true that I can reveal the sound? Which everybody out there. So you MySpaced, you messaged him on MySpace, Michael Ian Black. Is it true that he responded back in like 5 minutes?
Not in 5 minutes. Uh-huh. He wrote back in like a half an hour.
He's responded back twice, though.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was...
Bustling career, I'm sure.
On Saturday night, my sister and I were watching a movie, and I noticed he was still online, so I was checking the...
Aww.
So I wrote him, like, shouldn't you be out doing something celebrity-like?
Shouldn't you be at working? Shouldn't you be getting a different agent? Perhaps reading the trades? Maybe getting a different headshot?
Maybe he was hanging out with his friends in his head.
Uh-huh. Okay. 503-733-2970. Yeah, listen to that. We never got to the post-reading contest list. It didn't seem right to do it without Sarah. People were annoyed that we didn't get to it. We'll get to it this week. Smokey from KUPL has already agreed to come on and take part.
Ooh.
In the post-hitting contest. 503-733-2970. He's sort of like Carl Weathers on Arrested Development. Michael Ian Black. Just, do you have any food at your house, Sarah, that I can come over and have?
Oh, no, but did I tell you that he is married?
Michael Ian Black?
Mm-hmm. Saw a wedding ring on his finger.
Uh-huh. All right. Shouldn't he be at home spending time with his wife?
I really don't think
this begs the, okay, I'm not saying he is. I'm saying this begs the question, why is Michael Ian Black using the wireless connection at a Starbucks? I mean, does he...
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I don't think you can use a wireless connection at Starbucks. You need to buy the little thing you slip into your computer that costs $59 a month.
Yeah.
See, he can afford that $59 a month with that VH1 salary.
Okay.
Is he Sierra Mist? He has to be making some money with that.
Yeah, yeah, of course. 503-6, waiting for Viking Quest to come back so we can be on it. Rick, about that goddamn mystery sound. The best part about this is, by the way, is that everybody emails in, and the emails all have this haughty tone because everybody is convinced that they have the answer and everybody else is a fool. Listen to this. Hey, Rick at Al. It's the timer to a perfection game. You know, the ones with all the shapes that made you crazy. Ta-ta. Signed, Patty. No. No, Patty, you're completely and totally wrong. Let's see, this is from Kara. Hey, I corrected you last week, idiot. Read the Hal Michael thing. So she sent me the Hal Sparks. This is from Kara, one of the official. We need a title for Kara. Kara is, because it's wrong
Kara
to say that
balloon
she's...
Kara the
girl. Yes. Thing. No, but it's wrong to say that she is just a listener, because she is more than that. But I don't want to make her sound crazy. I don't think she's crazy.
You hope
she's not in any, like, demonstrable way.
I don't think she is. I went up in the balloon with her and her mom.
No, but I'm saying that she's... I wanted to call her, like, official, like she's some like a cheerleader. She's kind of a super fan or something. I mean, she really is... anyway, Hal Sparks, she says, is a cute yet freakishly small guy who played a gay guy on Queer as Folk, the best show ever. So there you go. And she says Michael Ian Black is some guy who did the I Love Crap series on VH1.
Hal Sparks also hosted Talk Soup for a while after John Henson took his hiatus.
All right.
John Henson? Nobody important hosts Talk Soup.
Who's John Henson?
I
quit watching when Greg Kinnear left.
He was the one who came in right after Greg Kinnear.
All right.
He has like the skunk patch on his hair.
Okay. Rick, would you like to interview Kathy Griffin? No. Let's see. Okay. Well, I gotta... Jesus God. All right, so...
Kathy Griffin is on, like, every other show on Bravo now.
I can't tell you how much I'm going to decline to interview her. I'm going to decline with extreme prejudice, as they say. I'm going to say, when they ask me if I want to interview Kathy Griffin, which they already have, I'm going to say no in all caps, by the way.
I think she's not funny or humorous.
Kathy Griffin is, like, everything boiled down and distilled that I dislike about comedians. So, you know, because it's just impossible. You'll notice, by the way... And I know that we do have all comedy, and we have lots of comedy. Whatever, that's fine. Yeah, comedians are fine. Comedians are fine as long as they know their place. You know what I mean?
Especially with other comedians.
Go on stage, and tell your jokes, and then go home. And just don't. It's impossible to get a good interview out of a comedian, though, because they never want to do a serious interview. They all want to come on and just do shtick. And it's just, I mean, really, someday when I die, I'm going to end up in a small room with just a bunch of comedians, and that's going to be it. A bunch of comedians and DJs and, like, insurance salesmen. And then a guy's going to come in every few minutes, and he's going to kick me in the sack, and then he's going to leave. And that's going to be it, and that's going to be my eternity. All right, we've got calls about Dustin Diamond, calls about Skippy. It's what makes this show fantastic. We've got Tim Ryder to get to. We've got a recap, stuff that Sarah missed, and we've got to do the thing I found on the street. Let me get these calls. Scotty, will you come in for a minute, please? Scotty J, pleased to be coming to the studio now. Scotty J, intern call screener extraordinaire.
I'm really curious about what happened to Skippy.
Hey, this coffee is exceptional, by the way. Thank you. All right.
Except for one that had grounds in it.
Yeah.
Tim
wasn't so happy.
There was grounds?
Yep. In one of the coffee pots I chose, it had grounds in it.
They were grounds for dismissal?
Coffee pot?
No. Nothing's grounds for dismissal.
I completely talked up. Thank you for restating it. There you go. All right, Scotty. On the screen here, this call screening is just line after line of gibberish. So we're going to go through these one by one.
That's right.
Okay. What does this mean?
Okay,
Here's what it says. It says, Benjamin called, play song he sent girl cutting.
That's right.
What does that mean?
You talked to Benjamin.
Oh, Benjamin, Sarah missed this. Benjamin called on Friday. He has composed a song about girls who cut themselves.
Ooh.
He sang a few lines of it on Friday.
Was it beautiful?
It was. Now, what does this mean?
That means he would like you to play it.
He didn't send it to me.
To your show today. Okay, so you did.
I don't believe I got the song. So he should resend the song about girls cutting themselves.
Okay, so
if he sends it, I'll play it. If he sends it, I'll play it tomorrow. All right. What is this here when it says penis size?
You were talking.
Is this clean for the air?
Yes, it is. You were talking about Dustin, and we've kind of moved on. But
that's okay. It's never too late for Dustin Diamond. There's always room for Dustin Diamond talk.
You can go back because apparently Dustin said something about himself, is what I.
Is this going to be crude?
No, it's fine.
All right. Let's stand right here. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, I'm apologizing for this in advance, but
why are you apologizing for this in advance?
Hey, it's creepy.
Okay. We can deal with creepy.
Creepy we like. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I'll keep it clean.
Michael Powell loves creepy. Go ahead.
In an interview, they showed a clip of it on VH1. Dustin Diamond was claiming that he's... backing about 10.5 there.
Gross.
I don't want to hear that. That just disturbs me. I don't care whether it's real.
The way he said it, though.
And you like, there's a way to say that in which it's not creepy. All right, thank you, John.
Sorry about that.
Yes, John waited for an hour to make that observation. Josh, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
How's it going?
Now I got this unpleasant image of Screech in my head, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, I saw something about him on TV about that Saving His House thing, but... I just want to say I don't like American Idol or any of those shows either, but I was bored, and I caught Skippy on that Last Comic Standing.
Oh, wait, what was he doing on Last Comic Standing?
He was auditioning.
No, really?
They said that he could come back to the nighttime one. He made. Didn't stick around to see if he made it back.
And look,
I don't think he did.
You know, Tim Riley will attest to this, by the way, because Tim Riley spent many years at various levels of the acting world. The sad thing about it is, and I don't purport to have like perfect knowledge of how Hollywood works, but I know a little bit, and. And Tim, you can verify that. The sad thing is, when you've made it onto it, let's say you're onto a TV series, you're on a TV show 2-3 years, or you're in a hit movie or whatever. People, the public thinks that once you do that, like you haven't made. They think that you are on Easy Street, like you're in Terminator 2, bam, you need never look struggle for work again. Or they think you're on two years of St. Elsewhere, your life is set. It's not the case. You go to an audition in Hollywood, and you're sitting out there in the hallway on the plastic chairs. And, I mean, there are guys out there who've been in hit movies, guys who've been in TV shows, still just desperately looking for work, trying to pay the rent, right?
And trying to borrow clothes from the other performers so they can look the part when they go into audition.
I mean, it doesn't mean anything. It's like you will see guys who used to be famous, or they were famous for like a week and a half, and then a couple years later, fast forward, they're back in there with the same tacky headshots, desperately trying to get work on some, you know, like a CSI Milwaukee or something, just doing everything they can, Michael Ian Black style, to try to make people remember who they are. It's just sad. All right.
The judges had to ask him why he looked familiar.
Oh.
And, one more thing before I go. Did you hear about the Otis sex slave, first sex slave thing in Oregon there? I saw on the news.
Okay. No. And what? Otis sex slave.
On the news in Otis, Oregon, there was some pot grower guy busted in the first ever Oregon case of like having like sex slaves transported from Mexico. He's holding somebody captive. I don't know.
In Otis?
Story. In Otis, Oregon, I swear.
When was this on the news?
Dream I had.
When was this?
Sometime this weekend.
How did I miss this? How is it that everybody didn't send me this Otis story?
I just know it was a big pot bust in Otis, I believe.
Yeah, but I mean,
find the news story.
Really, it's the sex slave angle that intrigues us here.
Yes, yeah, so it was Oregon's first one, so that also.
Well, it's good that we're finally on the scoreboard.
Never break down an Otis.
Yes.
Without your AAA chart.
Seriously. Okay. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
There you go. All right. Love of God. Thank you, Scotty. I appreciate that.
Gosh, is it really hot in here today?
It was hot all last week. It's summertime. It's only going to get hotter. They can't afford. We don't get air conditioning until we break a tush here.
So bring a fan or something in here?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
You have my... Wait. Yes, and there you go. You have managerial approval to get a fan.
Super.
You have to pay for it yourself.
Do you have the fan slip to fill out?
No, I was going to say, no, you can't expense that, by the way. You got to buy that. All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Woo! You're so right, it is hot in here. From higher down to the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Feed. Tim Riley reporting. The escalating war on junk food in schools has targeted a new enemy, the Fluffernutter. Outraged that his son was served peanut butter and marshmallow fluff sandwiches.
I think Fluffernutter, by the way, should lead the list of things that sound profane yet aren't.
Mm-hmm. Well, this happened at a Cambridge, Massachusetts elementary school. State Senator Jared Barrio said he will offer an amendment to a junk food bill this week that would severely limit the serving of marshmallow spread in school lunch programs statewide. The Fluffernutter sandwich as the main course of a nutritious lunch just doesn't fly.
I don't even know what a Fluffernutter is. Is that?
Oh, that's a typical New England thing. I'm sorry.
All I know about Fluffernutter is that Chris Moltisanti on The Sopranos likes them.
It is marshmallow fluff and peanut butter. A Fluffernutter.
And a marshmallow fluff is like marshmallow cream. Oh, like a spread them
all. They have marshmallow fluff.
I don't even know what marshmallow fluff is.
It's a fluffy marshmallow, like if you take marshmallows and put them in a blender.
So it's like a marshmallow paste.
Yeah.
So it is a marshmallow paste and peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, Fluffernutter.
Surprised anybody has any teeth left. Well, and the molasses,
Kristen from accounting must have had one in her girlhood growing up in New England.
All right, there you go. And so they serve this at schools
They do, yeah.
I wonder where everybody in this country is so goddamn fat.
Mm-hmm. Well, the irony is that a marshmallow fluff had to be invented in Somerville, which is Barrio's home district. So, I'm at home with the Fluffernutter sandwich, said the man, as long as they don't serve them in school. The Fluffernutter is 50% sugar.
Oh. That's fantastic. There you go. A jar of marshmallow cream sounds like that. We should file that away under the list of zany things we can make the intern eat at some point when he displeases us. That ought to be what we bet with Scott. We ought to bet that with Scotty. Like, Sarah and I bet push-ups. With Scotty, we ought to bet, like, he has to eat kippers.
Or like marshmallow cream?
Something hideous, yeah.
Do they sell that in Fred Meyer's?
What, marshmallow fluff?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of it until just now.
They sell
marshmallow cream.
Yeah.
It's in the jar like peanut butter.
All right. Are you messaging Michael Ian Black again?
Yeah, I just wrote to him and asked him if he wants to come on the show.
That's going to feel like Fluffernutter.
As if he had any projects he wanted to whore.
No, he doesn't. You know, he's gonna message you back in like 30 seconds. Yes, that's totally going to be what it is. Do you have any coupons? Do you have any Olive Garden certificates?
Ask if he's going to be on the 80 strike back and back and back again.
Do you have any trade? You can just anything? A sandwich?
Drop the word Sierra Mist over and over again.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, after conquering the digital music biz and taking the lead with TV shows online, Apple is looking to feature films. The computer company is in active negotiations with most studios to add movies to the iTunes music store, most likely by the end of the year. The main sticking point is price. Apple CEO Steve Jobs, who has been personally involved in the talks, initially proposed selling all films for a flat rate, $9.99. Right. All the studios gladly reject it.
Oh, you know what? They can eat it. Steve Jobs, who, by the way, I'm not a Mac user.
Should be.
Okay. I'm not a Mac user.
They never crash.
I am not a Macintosh user. But I will say that I am a huge, unabashed fan of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, I wouldn't go so far as to call him a hero, but he's a big, he's a person I admire and have for a long time. I do love Steve Jobs. And I have a whole shelf full of books on the computer industry at home. The computer industry fascinates me. And there's one called Icon, The Greatest Second Act in the History of American Business, about Steve Jobs, which came out last year. It's a great book, man, and the great thing about Steve Jobs is people don't appreciate this. Steve Jobs single-handedly revolutionized three different fields. I mean, computing, obviously, with the Apple II and the Apple IIc and the Mac, and then music with the iPod and, you know, and film with Pixar. I mean, Steve Jobs is one of the most powerful, most influential Americans who has ever lived. And the great thing about him is, man, the idiot record companies just dug in their heels, and they dug in their heels, and they refused, and then he just broke them using the power of the iPod and iTunes. Steve Jobs did what everybody else has been trying to do for years, which is to pick up the record industry and break them over his leg like a matchstick.
Good for him.
Well, yeah, it is. It's fantastic. I really give it up to that guy. You know, you shop on iTunes, which I don't a lot because I don't have an iPod, and there's like this whole compatibility issue and whatever. But Laura has an iPod. Blah, 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 blah.
Just buy a Mac.
Moving on. But the great thing about iTunes is everything is 99 cents. Doesn't matter. A record is $9.99. A song is 99 cents. And the record industry came back last year, and they're like, well, we've had it with this. We're going to start charging 99 cents for some songs, but like $1.50 for other songs. And that's all we're going to do. That's what we're going to do, and there's nothing you can do about it, Steve Jobs. We are setting the ground rules. And Jobs just gave them the middle finger and said, like, you know, like, bite it, pal. And they backed down in like a day and a half. They just they wield no power over that guy. Steve Jobs has made the recording industry into his prison cellmate, and I for one salute him. So there you go, Steve Jobs.
The first reviews of Superman Returns have given the new movie, which stars newcomer Brandon Routh,
big thumbs up.
A resounding thumbs up.
Yeah.
Variety magazine's critic calls it grandly conceived, sensibly drawn, never self-consciously hit. It is sincere with an artistic elegance and a genuine emotional investment in the material.
I hope it's good, man. I just, more than anything, I don't think I could take it. And I'm not even much of a comic guy, but I don't think I could take it if Superman Returns was bad. I think it would actually sadden me deeply if that was it. And that,
I already bought my tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
He was actually holding up his tickets.
Bought them this weekend.
I watched that whole documentary, man, the Superman documentary that Kevin Spacey narrated. It was just, I mean, it really was beautiful. It was fantastic. And Bryan Singer doesn't make bad films. I mean, I wasn't a big X-Men fan. Bryan Singer, you know, I mean, that's a guy, he makes, his films are fantastic. So, yeah, I hope it's good.
Some of the other things here, the Hollywood Reporter says, from the start of this gorgeously graphic epic, you can feel that Singer has a real love and respect for the most four-square comic superhero of them all.
All right.
Just as Batman begins relaunching and ailing Batman, it sends Superman into the stratosphere.
All right, well, we should break here. We have to decide now, though. What are we going to do when we get back?
Radio talk show.
Well, Roop is calling.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
I still haven't talked about the thing I found on the street.
The thing you found on the street and then clue me into...
We got to recap everything that happened last week. Can we do that all in 30 minutes?
Yeah. Totally. Yes.
All right. We should use it, message Michael Ian Black, and then see how long it takes him to message back.
I messaged him like...
Like 2 minutes ago? Three, four?
Like five.
All right. We'll see how long it takes him to respond. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Back after this. I got all these dance, you know I want to dance. Dancing to the night with you. If I got all these dance... It's 503-733-something. The hell am I doing? All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's Rick Emerson. Thank you for coming along. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Yes, Stephanie Miller, starting a week from today. Friends, next Monday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. We'll be talking more about that as the week goes on. She's going to be joining us Friday. She'll be joining us on the program Friday. Also... I'm going to choose my words carefully.
Be
here.
Careful.
No, I'm going to choose my words very carefully. I will reveal nothing further about what I'm about to say. Do not call about this. Do not ask for further details. Do not ask for hints. Do not ask for clues. But two things are happening on Friday. One, Stephanie Miller, whose new program begins on this very fine radio station next Monday, 6 to 9 a.m. She's going to be our new morning show, which is great. She will be joining us for a brief interview early on in the program, probably in the noon hour on Friday. That is the first thing that's happening on Friday. Thing the second on Saturday, it's happening on Friday. I'm just going to say this. There will be a very big, very exciting, major announcement on Friday. I won't say anything else. Guys, okay. Don't call in and ask for us to give you a little clue. Don't ask for us to give you a little hint. I cannot. And I really mean it when I say I can't. I cannot.
Not like a potluck.
I don't even know what that means.
No, look at dinner or some food. Or...
What are you talking about?
I was just looking for a clue.
No. No. So on Friday, Stephanie Miller will be joining us on the program, and we will also have a very, very big, very, very exciting announcement. That's all. All I can say. That's it. I can say nothing else.
Okay.
I can't. I would like to, but I can't. It's something I can't do. Rick, this email says, you are a Mac user, all right. You're always Macking on Lisa Goddard. Ha, 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 ha. That's Mike in Portland. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent to the gods, Jim Roop. How are you, Jim?
Woohoo! I'm fine, sir.
that woohoo, perhaps, it doesn't indicate and underscore the seriousness of your job and your commitment to CNN as a news. You never see Wolf Blitzer starting off his news reports with a big, cheerful woohoo. That's what sets you apart, my friend.
He's not me.
No, that true words were never spoken. You stand alone, Jim Roop.
Yeah, well, maybe if I bathe once in a while.
Okay. Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am here all week. Are we distracting you from other calls? Are we?
No, not at all, sir.
All right.
It's a busy day here in the Bureau. However, I've been covering some heartbreaking stories like the Ringling Brothers blood drive and, I don't know, something else, West Nile.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel that California has done maybe something or many somethings wrong in the past to incur the wrath of God? Because it does seem like about every 90 days you're all going to die of something or other. And it comes across the CNN prep, all Californians to die of, and then they just insert whatever it is. I remember when it was medflies. You remember when medflies were going to destroy California?
Yeah, well, this is the 21st century Egypt.
Okay.
This is...
So toads will be next.
Moses, yeah.
And so what's not... Let's just cut to the bottom line. West Nile doesn't kill anybody. Nobody's died of West Nile.
No, you die from complications of, like, AIDS doesn't kill anybody. You die from complications from the virus.
Yeah, but, I mean, nobody really gets West Nile, do they?
Well, a couple people have. I mean, there's been some deaths associated with West Nile.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's usually people who have pre-existing conditions, but, duh, we all kind of know that.
Well, that's when they say, like, a West Nile could be especially fatal to those who are 98 years old and living on a respirator. Well, you know, seems like a good strong breeze will kill most of those people. It's a whole lot of nothing.
You know, this is just a way to urge people to be careful. If you're a diabetic or if you have hypertension and you're a little older than you want to be.
What precautions are you supposed to take? Magically become younger.
Yes.
There's no precautions. What are you going to do? You can't go outside dressed in one of those Devo suits or something.
You know, wear
the big beekeeper's hat.
Yeah, the stuff with DEET, you know, the insect repellent.
Yeah.
DEET, the long sleeves, the long pants, you know, wetsuit. Get out there.
Wrap yourself in the saran wrap and stay in your home.
So we don't die. We must...
Cover your body in tin foil and speak to no one.
I'm telling you, man.
This advice is pointless. I don't fault you for that. I'm just saying this advice is stupid.
Well,
it's not, what are you going to do? It's a mosquito.
I'm guaranteed there's some people out there going like, oh, yeah, good idea.
That sounds fantastic. This mosquito is like the Death Star trying to ward off, you know, Luke Skywalker and his X-Wing. But there's nothing you can do. It's small. If God wants to kill you, God is going to kill you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there you go. And right, once again, we've solved all of it.
I think we worry about too much, to be honest with you. We're, you know, our kids are becoming wimps, and we're becoming chickens, and it's, you know, we just need to get out there and live, man.
That's what I'm saying. That's going to be the attitude in the workers' paradise of Emersonia, my friend.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. Because we've learned last week that CNN's reports to us are frequently late and usually incorrect, is there anything exciting you're talking about that is not reflected here on the CNN sheet that Laura Cavizza sends to us?
The city of West Hollywood is considering changing the way it deals with people who have marijuana. They're going to ask, there's a resolution in the city council tonight that's going to ask law enforcement to look the other way for people who smoke pot in private or that have a small amount of pot.
Is it actually going to say that? Like, we the undersigned hereby ask the man to look the other way?
That's the verbiage that they're using in what they're talking about today. At least they're putting it in terms that I can understand.
Good.
Which is...
it's only like 6 blocks long, isn't it? No place to park anyway.
Yeah. You can successfully skip across West Hollywood.
I know that because I had my car towed there once. You can't park anywhere. And even if the sign isn't there, they'll tow your car anyway.
That's fantastic.
Tow it a block and a half, and, you know, now you're in Santa Monica.
It's got Tower Records and a couple of other high-rise. You can't get it. Oh, the Comedy Store is there. That's about it.
So there you go.
West Hollywood is a mess to park. I mean, you can't.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. So
what? You can't park. You can smoke pot. You gotta trade it off somehow.
This is a whole... This is why people don't take us seriously as a news program. It's segments like this. But that's why this...
My apologies.
That's what sets this program apart, Jim Roop.
Okay.
All right. Okay. We should go now.
If you say so.
All right. Jim Roop, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you very much.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right. Good God. All right. We got one more break to take and 20 minutes of show. All right.
All right. I want to know what you found on the street. If he stopped stalling, then he could get to it.
Okay. We're not going to get to the mystery sound today. Everybody out there. Wait. Hold on. You listen. You can hear. You can hear as though 1,000 souls cried out and then were suddenly silent.
Listen to the mystery sound one more time.
Let's listen to the mystery sound again, shall we? All right. There you go. It's 503-733. You can just see, if you listen, right now you can hear the sound of like 100,000 people going, yeah! You know, and just sort of clinching. All right. I'm holding now in my hand.
Ooh.
Okay. You have to up. I'm going to move the microphone down here so you can't.
It's kind of creepy because he's standing with like a desk up to his chest and he's holding something waist level.
Here's the sound. I found this exciting thing in the street. Now, I found this literally in the street on about 40th and Powell in Southeast. I found this. Now, hold on. Here's the sound of it. Do you know what it is?
No.
No, you'll never guess.
Okay, well,
literally, you will never, ever...
Is it valuable?
Well, not really. It's not worth money, probably. I almost don't want to... I know I've been teasing this the whole show,
Rick,
and...
You've already not given the sound. You've got to tell what you found.
Okay, I will tell you, but I'm just saying... When I reveal what this is, when I reveal what I found on the street, you will understand why I almost don't want to, because the moment of revelation is so fantastic that I'll be sad when it's over. Do you know what I mean?
Will you just show me?
It's like your first kiss with a hot girl. In a way, you're almost kind of like, you know, you never get that first kiss again. It's a perfect moment you can never recreate. Now, I'm going to be very clear as I get ready to reveal this, that this is not a hoax or a gag. I am not lying about where I got this. Because your first thought will be... that I'm lying. Your first thought will be that for the purposes of being a kooky radio host, that I got it from somewhere else, and I'm just saying I found it in the street. But Laura will confirm this. Laura will confirm that I came home, and I'm like, guess what I found in the street? She will confirm that I found this laying in the street on about 40th and Powell. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yes.
What are the odds of this? You will ask yourself, what are the odds? And the odds are like 5 skillion to 1. Laying in the street, I swear to Christ, I found, laying in the street, and here revealed, on this...
Okay, Rick.
The radio show. I found a copy of... the Starbucks Green Apron book.
No, you didn't.
I swear to Christ. I swear on everything. Pick something for me to swear on.
On...
Pick something.
Never ever being able to listen to your Marquis Ramone interview again.
Yes. I swear to you on the interview with... I swear on Don Rickles' life.
What does this thing do?
Now, in all fairness, there is a Starbucks not too far from there. There's a Starbucks inside that Safeway. Yeah. Now I swear to you on the soul of my sainted mother that I did not go looking for this.
Was it laying face up?
It was laying face up, kind of on that sidewalk right there.
Just a lot of it.
I found a copy of the Starbucks Green Apron book.
We built this Starbucks.
Here's a mini book you can carry around with you.
Okay, we don't have time to go through what's in it. We'll have to do that tomorrow.
Is this like Kabbalah?
Yes, it's exactly like Kabbalah. So tomorrow we'll go through what's in the Starbucks Green Apron book.
Oh, my God.
But do you understand what the odds of this are? Because I'd never heard of it, and then a couple weeks ago we start playing...
And that's your favorite line, the Green Apron book line.
Living the ways of being in the Green Apron book.
Be considerate.
Because I don't even know what the hell it means.
Now you will.
Oh, it's like Mao's Little Red Book.
Yeah, it's exactly like Mao's Little Red Book.
Make up for it. make a difference. Make somebody's day.
I found this laying in the street. Do we even have... Does this version even get to the line?
Be genuine. Connect. Discover. Respond.
Wait, hold on. Right there, in the grid, I found a copy of the goddamn Green Apron book. I swear to you. And you'll see why. Do you see now why I'm so staggered? I mean, what are the odds? It is like God reached down and placed it there for me to find. I could not believe it. This is how dopey I am. I ran home, like, Laura, look what I found! You know, it's like I found the cure for cancer or something just sitting there.
And then there's a section here for thoughts, ideas, and experiences, and it's blank.
It's an unused Green Apron book.
Does the picture go in these little slits?
No. That's this. There's a little inside the Green Apron book. There's a little miniature Green Apron book so that you can, like, carry it in your pocket. I swear to God, I found it just laying there on that sidewalk. There are no words for what a coincidence that is. That really does make me believe in God almost. That really is. Seriously, that's like, you know what
I
mean?
A lazy Starbucks employee who's going to get in trouble because they lost that. You're supposed to have your passport on you at all times.
This is almost like some intelligent design stuff because we've been on the air here. We never talk about the Green Apron book. We never play the song. We start playing the song. I become fixated on what the Green Apron book is. Bam! I'm walking down the street. There's a copy of the Green Apron book right there. No one else had found it. Wasn't picked up and thrown away with the trash. The employee didn't come back and get it. What are the odds of the Green Apron book being lost on the sidewalk and then I discover it?
It says, familiarize yourself with the different coffee-growing regions. Is there another book specifying those?
I have no idea.
Or do you have to learn that on your own?
No, you have to go to training where they, like, shove coffee down your throat for literally, like, 7 hours. Mm-hmm. And you are so cracked out by the end of it.
So, it's unreal. Okay.
Hey, Rick. So, I was in New York and Boston last week. What did I miss?
All right. Listen to this email. Rick, I'm polishing my high-powered rifle, and every time I hear you play the mystery sound with no further clues, I put another shell in the clip. It has a nice high-powered scope, too. Lock and load. Watch your back, bastard. So, there you go. All right. So, we've...
Okay, will you please... I can see you completely getting distracted.
Yes?
God, you're like a six-year-old sometimes. Okay, so where did the Rick Erickson thing come from? That's what I'm most perplexed about. I don't really care about you owning your own town.
Okay, we went to Don Rick. See, you weren't here for any of this. Sarah was gone all last week, so we have to recap. This is like when we do the FAQ occasion. We were like, what does F Map mean? We went to Rickles, which was great.
What did you just hit?
I didn't hit anything.
I didn't touch anything.
Oh, that was Scotty.
Oh.
We went to Rickles, which was great. Fantastic.
I saw the picture of you with
him. He's rocking the bathrobe and the tux. He had an orchestra. He sang. He did a little dancing. He told stories about Sinatra. It was so great. It was like looking through a little portal into like the Vegas past.
Did he call you Eric?
On stage, well, we got our pictures back. Clyde and I were able to go backstage. There was some miscommunication. Tim wasn't able to get there in time
to
go backstage.
What happens was I arrived late because I heard ahead of time that they were having a hard time selling tickets, which was ridiculous.
It was sold out, by the way.
We found out to the streets.
We found out later it was sold out. And I would say a good third of the crowd was under 40.
So it was my own fault for getting there 5 minutes ahead of showtime.
Yeah. No, it was, and I couldn't get service. And anyway, and so Clyde and I went backstage, and he was so cool. We totally got our picture taken with him. And I look bad in the photo, but what are you going to do? It's Rickles. But yeah, he does this whole gig. And then later at the end of the show, he's like, he's thanking everybody. He's thanking the orchestra and the people at Chinook Winds. And he says, and I'd like to thank a guy who interviewed me, a great radio host. We had a lot of fun doing a show. Rick Erickson, ladies and gentlemen. Rick. And we were like, we had great seats. We're the third row. You could touch the stage. And so I'm like, wait, man, I'm Rick Erickson. Somebody, by the way, persons unknown, they have taken all the sales information that the sales department has, these little flyers that they give to clients, like, why should you advertise on the Rick Emerson Show? And they have modified it now to say Rick Erickson Show. Thank you very much.
Oh, Don Rickles.
Yeah,
so after seeing him, senile or messing with you?
Messing with me. Okay. Totally messing with me.
No, because he could hear comments that people were making several rows back.
Yeah, he still had his hearing, and obviously a lot of his like pre-scripted shtick. Obviously a lot of his one-liners he's been doing for 30 years. But I mean,
he didn't say hockey puck once, though.
No, he didn't say hockey puck. And I give him props for that, actually, avoiding the tired catchphrase. But you know what? People in the audience would kind of heckle him a little bit, and then he would throw it right back at him. He was still sharp. There were a few people in the audience who were like, oh, I'm going to get one up on Don Rickles. And they would sort of toss a little something at him, and man, he would hit it right back.
And then they were afraid.
Seriously, because the first couple of them were like 80 years old. I'll screw with him. They tried to screw with Don Rickles. Man, he screwed them right. He screwed them, you know, right back. And they shut the hell up after that. So it was really, really, really good. So that is where Rick Erickson comes from. It's because Rickles called me Rick Erickson on stage, which is genius. I mean, it was fantastic. We should break here.
Okay.
Here's what we haven't gotten to. We haven't gotten to stuff that happened last week while you were gone. Maybe we'll try to do
that
a few more of those when we get. Well, we got one. We should talk about Otis when we get back.
Oh, I get that whole Otis story there.
Is this white slavery and Otis?
White slavery and Otis.
Fantastic. I mean, it's not fantastic, but...
It's fantastic that it was broken up before it got more severe.
Yes, it's fantastic that this man is going to get what's coming to him.
Could have spread all the way to Lincoln City.
Otis. How hard... Really, if you're going to commit a crime, why would you do it in a town that has a population, as we found out, of two? How many doors are they going to have to knock on before they find you?
Oh, I can see where this is going.
How many houses do they have to check? All right, but back after this, Rick Emerson, John AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. Oh, and I failed to play the Weekend Geek. Oh, I hate me. I should play it here.
Here's what?
I'm sorry, Aaron. I'd like to, but Sarah's giving me the no sign.
We have like 2 minutes left. Sorry,
we'll play
Aaron.
It tomorrow. Okay. It's okay. I'll play it twice tomorrow.
It'll be okay.
I feel bad. I'll play it twice. It's my own. You know what it is? I didn't write it down in the Matrix. That's why. All right.
Briefly. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Finding the Green Apron book is like the Celestine prophecy. Except that it's the caffeine prophecy. Can I get a wah-wah? All right. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. All right. So we got to one of the 50 things that happened last week. So we got to Rickles.
Oh, what was this? You said something about buying a town and then something about a boxing match.
It's all very hectic.
So is the town with two people, is that the one you're talking
and
about?
And by the way, the listeners, no one believes that what's-his-name Gianni is wealthy. They're all calling BS on the fact that he's rich.
No, I met him 6 years ago, and he was wealthy then, and his apartment is $3,000 a month. And
really?
Yeah.
All right.
We can maybe...
Where does a kid get that much money?
Seriously.
No, he's like a... He's a grown-up.
You have only his word to go by on this.
No, but I know. I mean, Colin works for Time Warner. They both work for these really nice firms. I've seen business cards.
All right. Okay.
See, Lycus has just made you a skeptic.
I know how guys are. I really do. And we haven't gotten to the mystery sense. All right, so here's the thing about Otis. Now, on the way to Chinook Winds, which is in Lincoln City, Clyde and I went to Rickles, and we're driving along, going down the road, and then we see a now entering the town of Otis. And Otis is a funny name, and so and it makes me think of Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. So I'm Otis. I'm all, hey, look at Otis. And then there's a big sign saying, the town of Otis is for sale. Call this number, blah, 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 to buy the town of Otis. And I thought it was like a gag, like it was a joke. But the town of Otis, Oregon, population 2, is for sale for $2.4 million. We had the realtor on last week. His name is Jason McElrath, the guy who is selling the town of Otis. There are two restaurants. There's the Otis Cafe and the Pronto Pop Stand. We interviewed both of them. Like, we had the owner of it really was just continuing my metamorphosis into Mike Chase. I had we interviewed the owner of the Otis Cafe, and then we interviewed the guy who runs the Pronto Pup Stand.
Now, are there any people that live there? Or is it just...
There's two. Didn't we find out the population was two?
Two.
Two. Which is why it's...
Are they a couple or individual?
It's a place to have a sex slave ring, by the way.
Are they individuals?
I don't think so. One of them is the guy who owns the Pronto Pup Stand.
And the other one owns Otis Cafe?
I don't know. I guess.
No, the guy in the Otis Cafe does not own the Otis Cafe. He owns the recipes.
Yes, but the Otis Cafe. Anyway, but there is a woman who owns the town, and she's trying to sell it. So my thing is that it's going to become the workers' paradise of Emersonia. So we're trying to raise money from the audience to buy the town of Otis and to transform it into a golden world of tomorrow.
It's doable.
$2.4 million. How much of that would I have to put down in advance?
Well, at least 5%.
That's $120,000.
Mm-hmm.
We could raise that. Have our own town. $120,000. We could do $120,000. We could raise that to own a town. Come on, it'd be fantastic. Big and then just a huge golden statue of me.
Do
right
we get
in the
free hot dogs?
Middle of free Pronto Pups, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, they created the corn dog here in America.
Ooh.
They hold the all-time world record for one-day corn dog sales as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, just so you know.
People come from miles around to get them.
All right.
It's the Coney Island of the Oregon coast.
It really is. Scotty, is this CJ calling about boxing me? Okay. Would you apologize to him? We don't have time. I wish I could. I just don't. It's 2:58. I got nothing. CJ, I apologize. We'll get to you tomorrow. And this is CJ. He's a vegetarian who wants to box me.
Why?
It's a long see. You leave and then it's all this to catch up. Okay, so we have to talk about the boxing thing tomorrow. Otis, we'll have to recap that a little bit. You don't know who Dan is. We're going to talk about Dan. And then tomorrow we will be going through the Starbucks Green Apron book. That's tomorrow. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note of it. We're back in 21 hours. Like us next. World famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Don't forget, coming up Friday on the Rick Emerson Show, Stephanie Miller will be joining us before she begins her new stint as the morning show here on AM 970. The Stephanie Miller Show will be airing 6 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, beginning next Monday. We'll be talking to Stephanie on Friday. Also on Friday, a very big, very exciting announcement about which I can say nothing else. I cannot reveal anything. And also tomorrow, we'll tantalize everybody with the mystery sound again, which no one will guess. It's 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. We want to thank Lisa Goddard, Clyde Lewis, and Jim Roop. As always, don't let the bastards grind it on. See you in 21 hours. Like us next. Phil Hendry Show at 7. See you then. Bye.